title of today's talk is School for Ugly Ducklings. Ah, yes, here we are. It's a one-room schoolhouse. How come that's making noise? It's not rubbing against anything. Sorry. The problem that we face oftentimes as we progress towards a time when waking up is part of the program is that we kind of go through a period of time of not quite fitting in with things. And as the search begins in earnest for the way back, we usually stumble into it because we certainly don't have, if we're, let's say, unenlightened, and we're looking to see what's wrong, why our one-room schoolhouse seems not to fit, that we usually stumble into either some information or a person who is connected to a master. And that is by super grace. Now, some people already start looking and thinking they're something else, and they, you know, try to be focused and spiritual and blah, blah, spend quiet times reading, searching, meditating, spending a lot of time alone. However, others kind of get a boost by being thrown into a situation where they run into the literature or the writings or that sort of thing, or they grow up in a church or religion that has historical enlightenment involved in it, but they kind of go off into the world of exploring. And then they rediscover maybe what they grew up in had some merit, and then they wonder what of the merit they left and why they should or shouldn't go back, but maybe they should look in something that has basic information that their, let's say, upbringing in a church or an organization of spiritual learning, they should kind of explore in a deeper way. And then they get beat up for a while and they start to pray. And so starting to pray seems to speed things along, where you get beat up some more and you pray more sincerely. That seems to be a historical, recognizable set of events that have awakened many people to going to the School for Ugly Ducklings. So, ugly ducklings are now trying to find out why they're ugly. Why they don't fit in. And if they do, they don't like fitting in because it's not satisfying, and they're wondering why they're keep doing the same thing harder and harder that doesn't work. Now, you know, somebody who's been on drugs or alcohol or something and they're in the gutter and they have an option to die or pray to change. And in that state, they may get a helping hand to come down and catch their attention when they're the most vulnerable and make them aware that there is a different way to live. And we have all kinds of wunderkind people that come by different modalities. It may be death of a child or something that finally smacks them between the eyes and the heart, and they start wondering why. There's all kinds of, let's say, introductions to the search. And so when people kind of congregate around a competent master, they're not all on the same, let's say, experiential world. Their experiences have been unique to them, and so if you're looking for a uniform type of person that comes to the path of the master, you're looking in vain. People are unique. People come from unique backgrounds. They come from unique centuries of evolution. And so genetically, we're different. Historically, karmically, we're definitely different. And so the idea that there is a uniform type of personality that is on the path of the masters, that's a, if you're thinking that, you have a rude awakening to come. But that doesn't mean you're not connected. It means that you just arrived from the ugly duckling state, from your particular background of ugly duckling. And your motivation is up and down depending on how you use the techniques of the path to move forward towards connecting to spirit. I mean, all we have to do is look at the disciples of Christ, which today we're going to talk a little bit about him because it's the celebration of, quote, quote, his resurrection. Now, people get quite excited about the idea, if they come from Christian backgrounds, of the resurrection. It's wonderful that Christ was, quote, quote, resurrected and was seen after his death to appear to his disciples and other people from time to time. Throughout history, from 2,000 years past Christ's death, he has appeared, not just to his disciples. He has appeared. And historically, if you read the literature of past masters of other traditions, they appear very consistently throughout history. So the reason they appear is that it's a startling manifestation to an ego-based experiential person. I'll give you an example of an interesting opportunity I had when I was at the Unity of Man conference, which I was helping to organize in Vancouver after Kirpal Singh's leaving the body. And I had brought to the convention many of Kirpal's books, and they were in the bookstore with the other books of other teachers. And so it was a setup where the bookstore had the writings of other disciplines. And I had mine on display with several others, and they were the books of Kirpal Singh. And on the back cover was a photograph of Kirpal Singh. And during one of the days during the conference, I happened to be in the bookstore and I was trying to straighten up the table and that. And this woman came by and she said, "Oh, he's a master?" And I said, "Well, yes." She says, "Is that his picture?" And I said, "Yes." And she said, "Oh, I met him on a hike in the mountains the other week." And she said, "I was just dying of thirst. And he came out with this basket of fruit. And he said, 'Here, take one. It will help your thirst.'" And she said, "He was really kind." And she didn't ask whether he was, let's say, passed out of the body. She just thought it was a picture of a writer, a living master who had written. And she had no conception that he had been out of the body for some time. But that happens around the world. Masters are just amplifiers of the soul. And take the body away, which is what we are on the path for, is to overcome the limitations of the physical body and all of the things that has been helpful in keeping us from merging with God. So when masters leave the body, they're not limited anymore. And they can appear not in one place, but they can appear simultaneously in several places at the same time. The ego mind doesn't know what to do with that. The associated person who hasn't been in association with the history of masters thinks that's not possible. But all through history, we hear stories of people joining a Christian church and having the manifestation of Christ appear. Or that they aren't in the church and Christ appears. And Mother Mary appears. And other saints of the Catholic faith up here. And all through history, the masters, through different lines of teaching, have appeared and have taught and have encouraged and brought people to the disciplines that will give them attunement to the spirit and eventually enlightenment. So while Easter is wonderful to celebrate, it's appropriate also to know that masters are not limited all through time and history. So if God's light is at the base of all creation, and masters have merged into that light consciously, why wouldn't they be able to appear? Anytime, anywhere, any way. Oh. The story that is written in history forever about Moses, who was praying and praying, and he was very devoted to God, and he communicated with God. But he hadn't seen God as such, and he kept praying for God to visit him, to show him, to be, you know, present in a way in which he could tangibly experience him, as if he couldn't tangibly experience him in communicating with him. Anyway, so God said, on such and such a day, I will come and visit you. And so Moses got very, very busy getting ready for God, cleaning, making everything perfectly orderly and wonderful, and preparing food, etc., etc. And what happened is some poor beggarman happened to come by and stop at Moses' home as he was getting prepared to receive God. And what happened is that Moses said to the beggar man, I am terribly sorry. He said, if you will come back any other day, I will be happy to share with you, have you come here, be with me, etc. But I have very important company coming today, and I can't do it today. And so the beggar man politely went away. And Moses waited the duration of the day, and no God appeared. And this perplexed him, and he couldn't figure it out, and he started praying, God, you know, why haven't you come? Why haven't you come? This went on for weeks. Why haven't you come? Why haven't you come? Why did you say you would come and you haven't come? And finally God said to Moses, I did come, but you would not receive me. You see, if we are in training, it doesn't mean we have enlightened. If we are in training, we have, let's say, limited comprehension of the capacities of God. And so, God can use any method whatsoever to forward the training of anybody on the way to becoming attuned to his spirit. And that may appear like a kick in the pants, so to speak, or how could that be, you know, I'm working hard, I'm trying hard, I think I'm worthy of, And of course your soul is worthy of. It's that your ego is standing in the way and you're standing in the ego instead of with the spirit. And that's why you have to be tricked sometimes. It's as though if anybody had been standing next to me, which they were, and they heard her say in the bookstore, "Oh, is that a master?" She said, "Oh, I saw him on the mountain the other day. And he gave me fruit and it was wonderful." And so he manifested hard physical fruit in a basket, you see. And so expectations of what God role God will take is foolhardy. And we have to come to terms with the fact that God is trying to awaken us to spirit in everything. And it's a hard lesson to learn for the biological mental activity that we possess or in-house. So enlightenment is no easy trip to the corner market. It's getting rid of misinformation. And we're very loath to give up our prejudices, our misinformation, to get quiet and open and open and open and open. There's some from the long history of masters that have appeared on the earth. Leave sometimes their writings behind or their traditions behind, and their students write it sometimes correctly and sometimes not. But they are a kind of knock knock, who's there? Oh, maybe a spiritual lesson is there when you read their writings sometimes. This is from Saint Francis of Assisi. Now, Saint Francis of Assisi lived many, many centuries after Jesus, and yet the learning that he got from Jesus was as valid as if Jesus had been alive. And here we are. "When I returned from Rome, a bird took flight, and a flower in the field whistled at me as I passed. I drank from a clear stream of water, and at night, the sky untied her hair, and I fell asleep clutching a tress of gauze. When I returned from Rome, all said, 'Tell us the great news.' And with great excitement, I did. A flower in a field whistled, and At night, this guy untied her hair, and I fell asleep, clutching a sacred tress. He asked for charity. God came to my house and asked for charity. And I fell on my knees and cried, "Beloved, what may I give?" "Just love," he said. "Just love." Ah. Lucky him, he actually arrived. Yeah, we'll get there sooner or later. Joy is the greatest cleanser, and it is the greatest testimony to our faith. "Toil with happiness," my Lord once said to me. God sent a servant on an errand through a very dangerous part of the world. The servant, having received in hand what God wanted delivered, turned to the holy and said, "My beloved master, do you have a final instruction?" And God replied, "A kind face is a precious gift." This one is from Rumi. If God said, "Rumi, pay homage to everything that has helped you enter my arms," there would not be one experience of my life, not one thought, not one feeling, not any act I would not bow to. We discount the way. The way is everything. Everything that we experience is set up to eventually bring us back to God. But we don't know it. Lifetime after lifetime, we think we're just living lives. We don't know that we're being set up, we're being educated, we're being brought through the paces of ignorance of God to knowledge of God. And so we feel somehow put upon. We feel suffering. We don't know we're being educated. But we are. A man standing on two logs in a river might do all right by floating with the current while humming in the now. Though if one log is tied to a camel who is also heading south along the bank at the same pace, all could still be well with the world. Unless the camel thinks he forgot something and abruptly turns upstream, then, uh-oh. Most minds do not live in the present. and can stick to a reasonable plan, most minds abruptly turn and undermine the chance of humming. The silkworm. I stood before a silkworm one day, and that night my heart said to me, I can do things like that. I can spin skies. I can be woven into love that can bring warmth to people. I can be soft against crying faces. I can be wings that lift. I can travel on my 1,000 feet throughout the earth, my socks filled with the sacred. I replied to my heart, dear, can you really do all those things? And it just nodded yes in silence. So we began, and we'll never cease. Strange language the masters use. They take us beyond our willingness to go. Our ego has to be shaken up, as many a master has said, God ought to drop kick us and make us learn that what we have been believing all along has been erroneous. And even if it sounds sweet, it's usually just a rehearsal of something we've heard before, and we're just using it to sound wonderful. But we don't live it, we don't believe it. It's kind of like, oh, yes. And then you're screaming at the kids, and you're, you know, worried about dinner, and you're swearing when you drop eggs on the floor, and, you know, a few things like that. You're a human. You're a human that doesn't realize everything is God. Period. It is a difficult thing to wake up from being raised as a human with all the limitations, with all of the duality, to getting to a place where we can accept everything is God. The screaming, the yelling, the bombs dropping, the storms that wash people out to sea, etc. That's all God. If the gentle is God, isn't the strong God? Isn't the quiet God, isn't the loud God? And we can't fathom it because it's alien to our upbringing. It's alien to the traditions of being a human. But you're not a human. You're a soul in a body that we call human, but it's better stated as the Indians stated as a man, but not a human. A human is God awake in man. So when we say the humane society, humane means godly kindness. Human means God in man, directing man, not the other way around. Man usurping God. God directing man. Soul power in man awake. And that's what the path of the masters, from all through history of all the recorded masters and those that have never been recorded, is about. The selecting time when someone is ready to wake up and being brought towards the master power, the awakening of the soul in the body. So the methodology is, let's say, difficult for the conditioned. Sometimes little children will kind of get it if they've been raised in a, let's say, a spiritual background. They can get it and say sweet things of love and, you know, believing that God power is there with them, that the angels are watching and that sort of thing. But as they get older and they get conditioned into, you know, being a teenager, and are they in the football, basketball, in the hockey league, you know, the world closes in on the education and it dilutes the one time at a young age, maybe more spiritually closer to God power. And then we have to unlearn everything that we learn during a lifetime. Because if you look at the news, it's not very, what you might call, on par with the flowers talking to you. Little tiny children have flowers talk to them. But adults don't, because you have to put that away when you go to school, or people will tease you and laugh at you, etc. See? So you bury it because you've been taught that there's something bad about sensitivity. If you're too sensitive, you'll never make it in the world. Phrases like that, that help you. So Easter is a good time to shake out of your mind that just because you're on a path, that you're new, unique, and that your master is the only one. That there haven't been masters all through history. And you don't know how many masters may be alive today. And not all masters have followers. It's part of the mystery of how the world is being managed by God power. So the best thing to do is to stay open and realize that anything is possible, but you have an opportunity to study the path of the masters as it's presented through the Surat Shab line. And that is a very solid line of activity to move through, to attune to the spirit. Well, Happy Easter.